In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. One of the common questions that a priest gets asked by people, particularly when they're going through difficult times, is why is God allowing this to happen to me? And that probably was a thought that passed through the paralytic's mind on more than a few occasions the many years that he sat by the Pool of Bethesda and was waiting for some opportunity to be healed. But in Psalm 65, the resurrection song that we started talking about last week, there's some answers to that question. The next section begins with, "Oh, bless our God, ye nations, make the voice of his praise to be heard." All the nations are again called upon to bless God, and so it's a prophecy of the conversion of the Gentiles in the New Testament church. But you might ask, what does it mean to bless God? Well, to bless God is another way of speaking of praising God. And we're called upon not just to praise God, but to make the praise of God to be heard by all peoples. And what do we especially want to praise God for? Well, for the fact that he gives us life. That's why this is called the resurrection song, the next verse. "Who hath established my soul in life, and permitteth not my feet to be shaken." Literally, in the Hebrew, what this verse is saying is that God places our soul in life. God is the giver of life, but with sin, death, and suffering came into the world. But in Christ, we enter into life, the life of the Spirit in this life, and so we're given new life. But because Christ is risen, even after our mortal bodies perish, we will be raised to life eternal. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." In 1 Corinthians he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. So when this corruptible body shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal body shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Then it goes on to say, "For thou hast proved us, O God, and by fire hast thou tried us, even as silver is tried by fire." So when it says God has proved us, that means God tests us. But why does God test us? He doesn't test us because he doesn't know what we have on the inside. He tests us so that we can find out what we have on the inside. And if we're leaning on our own strength, if we're trying to live a Christian life just by our own force of will, then we're going to discover that we don't have anything in us that's going to be capable of doing that. But when we fail and we repent of our sins, gradually God teaches us that if we don't rely on our own strength, but rely on him, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And also when it talks about refining silver, the way that silver is refined is you have ore where silver is mixed with other stuff, and then the silversmith heats it up. He heats it up to just the right temperature because he wants to liquefy the silver, but he doesn't want to liquefy everything because it wouldn't do any good. So he liquefies the silver, and what happens? The impurities start to float to the top of the crucible, and he scrapes that stuff off. And what happens when you're suffering? What happens when you're cranky, when you're hungry, or when you're sick? You start seeing that there's stuff in you that needs to be taken away. There's stuff that starts bubbling up to the surface. That's why God does it. He doesn't do it just because he's cruel. He doesn't do it because he's a divine sadist. He does it because he's trying to purify us to make us into the people that he's called us to be. "Thou hast brought us into the snare. Thou hast laid afflictions upon our back. Thou madest men to mount upon our heads. Now it talks about men mounting upon our heads. Literally, it talks about people stepping on our heads. And some translations say people riding over our heads. But basically, in the ancient times, if you were a defeated enemy, it would be not uncommon for the victor to put his feet on your head. And so this is a sign that you were totally defeated. It was a sign of humiliation. And God puts us through these things on some occasions because this is part of that refining fire. But we're told in the Psalms, many are the tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver us out of them all. If we suffer these things and we allow God to scrape away those impurities that start bubbling up to the surface rather than just becoming bitter and just allowing this to be a negative, miserable experience, then we are offering up our sufferings to God and we are getting closer to God as a result. So there's nothing, St. John Chrysostom tells us, there's nothing that can harm us but ourselves, because no matter what anyone does to us, no matter how horribly we're treated by other people, the only person that can really harm us, harm our souls, is us by responding to that in a negative way. Whereas if we respond to those things as Christians, these things can be the very things that make us saints. We went through fire and water, and thou didst bring us into refreshment. God allows us to suffer in many ways that we can learn where salvation is to be found. Because if we trust in our own strength and we're led into a snare, it's simply a tragedy. But when we place our trust in God, He delivers us. Daniel was put into the lion's den, but that isn't where it ended. God delivered him out of the lion's den. The holy three youths were thrown into the fiery furnace, but that wasn't the end of the story, because they put their faith in God and not a hair of their body was singed, and the flames became a dew inside the fiery furnace. And on the other hand, the holy 40 martyrs were made to spend a night on a frozen lake, and they won the crown of martyrdom. So whether God spares us from death in these situations or whether we gain the crown of martyrdom, in either case, God will deliver us ultimately. St. Paul tells us that neither height nor depth nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The only person that can do that is you. So just don't do that. Respond to it in the right way. And of course, it's a lot easier to say it than it is to do it. But ask God to give you the strength and trust in Him, because you just have to know that in your own strength you can't do it, but in His strength you can. I will go into thy house with a whole burnt offering. To thee will I pay my vows which my lips pronounced and which my mouth had spoken in mine affliction. Whole burnt offerings full of marrow will I offer unto thee. With incense and rams, oxen and goats will I offer unto thee. God's house that's being described in this psalm is heaven. And the whole burnt offerings are the holy perfected labors of the virtues which all the just sacrifice to God, and as a thanksgiving offering they offer back to God. We're not offering to God something that makes God richer. God gave us the ability to do all these things, but out of love and thanksgiving we take what He gives us and we offer it back to Him. Another psalm says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all that He hath rendered unto me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows unto the Lord will I pay in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Vows are promises that we've made to God, especially the vows that we made at baptism. And those who enter the heavenly temple are those who fulfilled those vows. They paid those vows and they've lived according to the gospel of Christ. And those that enter heaven don't simply offer whole burnt offerings, but rich and fat ones. The exceptional labor of virtue is rich and fat, so to speak. And incense refers to the fragrance that comes from a pure soul. Rams are the thoughts that lead the soul and butt away the passions. Oxen are the activity of the body, for the ox is the one that does the work in a field in ancient times, and the body is from the earth and acts in regard to the earth. And by goats, he's referring to sin offerings, because in the Old Testament, goats were offered as a sin offering. We offer to God only those gifts that He's given to us, And he has given them to us to purify us and to refine us and to make us into what he has called us to be. Who shall ascend into the mountain of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that is innocent in hands and pure in heart, who hath not received his soul in vain, hath not sworn deceitfully to his neighbor. Such a one shall receive a blessing from the Lord and mercy from God his Savior. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed.